just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all, you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
It's Tuesday, August 30th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. And we're looking at the big picture of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see the pattern of the kingdom, which is a pattern of perfection. Von Roberts says this, "In the Garden of Eden, we see the world as God designed it to be. God's people, Adam and Eve, live in God's place, the garden, under His rule as they submit to His word. And to be under God's rule in the Bible is always to enjoy His blessing. It is the best way to live. God's original creation shows us a model of His kingdom as it was meant to be." But this didn't last long. As we turn to chapter 2 in the storyline of the Bible, we see Adam and Eve thinking that life would be better if they lived independently of God. And the results are disastrous. Sin and death enter the scene, and no one was spared. Everything is distorted and broken. This chapter of the storyline is called the Perished Kingdom, and we see it unfold in Genesis chapter 3 through 11. It is here that we find the record of the fall of man. This is what happened. This comes from a tract I like to use called The Story. It goes like this. Adam and Eve were far from being equal to God, yet He lovingly placed them in charge of all that He had created in Eden. He gave them the freedom to make decisions and govern the earth with one rule, not to eat fruit from a specific tree. One day, God's enemy, a fallen angel named Satan, wanted to overthrow God so he took the form of a servant and lied to Adam and Eve. He deceived them into thinking God was not good and did not have their best interest in mind. As a result, they knowingly disobeyed God. In rebellion, Adam and Eve ate the fruit, deciding that they, not God, would determine right and wrong. The consequences of their actions were devastating. Like a virus, sin entered into all of creation and into the hearts of Adam and Eve. Sin, suffering, and pain were passed down from generation to generation. All of creation was distorted from its original design. And the big consequence that we see is the one God warned them about, death. He said, "On the day that you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die." So God removed Adam and Eve from Eden as a result of their sin. And that day, death began physically and spiritually. But God left them with a promise of rescue and hope. We see the acorn of the gospel in Genesis 3:15. All right. God says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now listen to me. This is big stuff. There is one particular offspring, one person in view here. One person. It's Jesus Christ. He was bruised by Satan, no doubt. But ultimately, He crushed Satan's head. This is known as, big word right here, proto-evangelium. Proto-evangelium, which means the first announcement of the gospel. All right, from there we see the foul face of death and how no one is spared. First brother kills brother in the story of Cain and Abel, and the wickedness of the world just spirals out of control. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I mean, that's bad stuff. So God acted in judgment, and God wiped out all people on the face of the earth through a flood, except for one man, Noah, and his family. He spared them so that human history would continue. Well, human history did continue, but so did sin. And with sin comes judgment. Genesis 11 brings us to a low point in the Bible where humans say, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." It's Genesis 11, verse 4. All right, this tower was known as the Tower of Babel. It's a clear picture of the sinfulness of man trying to exalt himself and creating his own kingdom independently of God. But God doesn't allow this. Instead, God confuses the people by giving them different languages. So human beings are now divided not just from God, but from one another. So here's what we see happen in this episode of the redemption story. First of all relationships are now disrupted. There's discord between God and man. All right. Man is now only free to be what he is, a sinner who hates God. A sinner who hates God. And then you see discord between man and woman, and then discord between man and his environment. And there are two results of the fall. There's righteous judgment and undeserving grace. Now, there has to be righteous judgment because it is not possible for God to be true to himself and his character and at the same time tolerate dethronement from his creation. All right, God said, if you disobey me, you will die. But there's also undeserving grace. Like, praise God that Genesis 3 does not end by saying, well, I told you so. Close the book and it's over. But salvation and judgment are now inseparable and complementary aspects of the action of God in bringing in his kingdom. So throughout the span of eternity, we'll see these two rails run parallel. Even in the final end, when we see heaven and hell, it's undeserving grace and righteous judgment. Our tomorrow will turn the page as the story transitions from the perish kingdom to the promised kingdom. God calls a guy named Abram, changes his name, and makes some unconditional promises to him that through Abraham's descendants, God will reestablish his kingdom. May we hold firm to the promises of God as we magnify the name of Christ in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily. Making their way, the only way they know how. Well, that's just the law will allow.